In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, let's speak the sermon title together. So you have that right below the hymn of the day, right before the offertory. You have it? Not everyone does. Patience. All right, let's speak it together. Come here. Now, in the Stout household, we sometimes speak robot. And the sermon title in robot would be, Come Here. Now, Solomon and Henry and Dorothea speak a little bit better robot than their daddy. And you all probably dance a better robot than their daddy as well. But when you speak this title in robot, there's a bit of trouble understanding what is meant. Because tone of inflection means everything with this invitation. So it could be a parent to a child who has just fallen or is hurt. Come here. It could be a friend who hasn't seen another friend in a long time. Come here. It could be an enemy saying, come here. It could just be the boss or the parent to the child that needs discipline, pointing right out and not even saying anything, just right. It could be a woman speaking to a man. And whether inside of marriage and a wonderful, wonderful, godly, gift-giving invitation or outside of marriage and damaging for very, very many parties, the seductive invitation. And I will spare you from having me say that to you and you having that in your head all day long. What to say? Our Lord is inviting. He is an inviting Lord. In this parable, the gospel text, you have invite, invited, come. Everything is ready. Go, bring in, go out, compel, come in, that my house may be filled. And they are all phrases regarding this great banquet. But it is quickly evident, dear saints, in this parable and in your life, that you cannot be two places at once. For you to go to the banquet, for them to go to the banquet, they have to leave something. And for them to say no to the banquet, they have to stay someplace. So three begin to make excuses. One said, I've just bought a field. One says, I just bought some oxen. One said, I just got married. They are full of excuses. They say, no, thank you. They are polite in their excuses. Two of them at least say, please have me excused. But they are excuses nevertheless. Yes, but I just, you see, there's just, I would, but I, you see, full of excuses. And so our Lord invites us to his great feast, his commandments, his word. Hear his word, live his word, pray his word. He invites you to do it daily. He invites you to open your Bible. He invites you to pray for the people that you love and the people that you don't like. You are invited to the great feast of love and peace and righteousness and the Holy Spirit. You are invited to the one who says, I am the bread of life, and the bread that I give is for the life of the world. It is my flesh, and those who eat of it will never die. And we are invited to do this often. Yes, but I would, you see, but I would love to. There's and it is also important to note that our Lord is not the only one who's doing the inviting. everything in your life, every person in your life, everything that you own or that you want to own is inviting you for something. And some are friendly at first. There are the good things in life, the good things. The family, the friends, the food, the drink, the clothing, the work, the health, the honor before men, the money, the good things, etc. Lots of other things. But the devil likes to take the good things that God has given and says, don't trust in the one who has given them, trust in the things themselves. They are inviting, and they're friendly in their invitation. At first, come here. Trust me. You'll be fulfilled when you get me. I will satisfy you. There's the friendly ones. Then there's the angry ones. There's the demanding, come here. There's the anger that says, you gotta be angry. You need revenge. There's the things that are pent up and says you need to have resentment and hatred. You need to watch others carefully, for nobody's watching out for you. You need to catch them in the things that they are messing up in. There are the things that are addicting. And there's a lot more addicting things than you think. Then there's the depression, the despair. They are angry invitations. They demand that you come here and stay there. Many of the friendly ones end up in the angry ones because the devil realizes that sin loses its enticement. That what once felt right, you need more of to feel good again. And this is true with everything. Sin loses its enticement. And you won't ever have enough. You won't ever have enough of a house. You won't ever have a cool enough of a car. You won't ever get the right fix with that drug again. You will never be smart enough in your education. Your family will never be sweet and perfect enough. And the government will not give us enough free stuff. We will never have enough. We have an insatiable appetite and Satan knows it. And these friendly invitations turn into demanding invitations. And then there's the seducing invitations. The ones that promise the world and don't give you it. And they so often end in bold and wild, desolate lives, no fearing of God, no shame before men. They are the animal instincts of anger and of sex and of selfishness. So your whole life, you're receiving this invitation to come here. Not only from the Lord, but from everything around you. And if it were only so easy as to just choose the easy path and to stay away from the hard path, we would always choose the Lord's invitation. But our Jesus makes clear, he makes clear that not only do we come here to him with healing and peace and righteousness and joy and the Holy Spirit, not only is it a wonderful gift to come here and receive gifts from our Lord, but it is also sometimes a very, very difficult path. It is the path of Jesus. It is the path in which we humble ourselves before God and say, you're right and I'm wrong. It is the path in which we humble ourselves before others. It is the path in which our Jesus says, when you are invited to the feast, take the lowest place at the table, lest someone more important come up to you and say, friend, you have to move down. It is the path of having mercy on so many people that won't have mercy on you again. It is the path of forgiving those who won't forgive you back and who will keep sinning against you. It is the path of showing love to people who won't love you back. It is the path of having patience and showing kindness to people who won't show you kindness and have patience with you back. It is the path in which you have to realize that you won't be repaid until the resurrection. You'll be repaid, dear saints. That is a promise. The good in which you do will never fall on deaf ears. You will have a reward, but you might have to wait. It is the path in which our Jesus says you must count the cost. Before you take up your cross daily, renounce all things and follow me. And so our whole life, these invitations are happening. And so the Christian must consistently consider who the one that is doing the inviting. Because the Lord's invitation to come here, it is the only invitation that comes from a heart that is completely free from selfishness. It is completely free of any selfish desires. No other invitation in your life is disattached from that. It is the invitation that is made purely out of love. And it is an invitation that comes from the Son of God, who counted the cost of your eternal salvation, of your eternal peace with God, and he counted it worthy of receiving your sin. It is the cost of one who humbled himself under God's wrath, who said to Satan's accusations, who said to the wrath that you deserve, he said, "Come here and get me. Come here and get me. Don't go to them. Come here and get me. They don't belong to them. They belong to me. I took them in myself. They are no longer on them. They are in me." He invited them into himself so that they are no longer invited into your conscience. That is the Christian message. That is the one who is doing the inviting. That is the one who is constantly saying to you over and over and over and over again, "Come here." It is not an invitation for the Christian just to receive one time. It is not an invitation in which you go up to the altar one time. It is an invitation in which you go up to the altar at least once a week. It is the invitation to come here. To the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. It is an invitation for those who cannot pay back, because everything is free, because everything has already been paid for. Our Lord Jesus, in this parable, has a wonderful invitation. He says, "Come here," to the lame and to the crippled. And I want you to realize that there is an amazing point to this. Either this parable is being mean, saying to someone in a wheelchair or who is a paraplegic or who cannot move, it is an invitation to say, "Come here," knowing that they cannot move. Or it is a wonderful gift, saying to you who cannot go, "Come here and I will bring you to myself. I will draw all men unto myself when I am lifted up." It is an invitation to one who cannot come here. "Nevertheless, come here, I'll get you. I'll carry you. I'll put you on my shoulders. I will bring you." It is an invitation to you who are hurt, you who are confused, you who are unworthy, you who are dirty, you who are sinner. You right there in your life, with your situations, with your sin, with the sin that you have been sinned against, it is an invitation to come here and be healed and be sent away. It is an invitation to be invited into the Lord's heart, so that you might always know the love in which he loves you and always will. And that he will continually work in you a perpetual fear and love of his holy name, so that you begin to see the differences in the invitations in this life. The ones that seem friendly at first, the ones that are demanding, the ones that are seductive. So that you might begin to see that you cannot stay there and be there, but that he moves you unto himself and away from those other invitations. Proverbs 9, our Old Testament reading. Come here. Eat of my bread. Drink of my wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. And walk in the way of insight. You have insight of the world around you. You confess the creed. You understand things that Christians get and that others don't. You understand that God is the Creator, that Jesus is Lord, and that there will be a holy Christian church now and forevermore. That there is the promise of the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body. You have insight. Leave your simple ways and live. Today and every day, we are being worked inside and out through our Lord's word to leave that and cling to his wonderful and simple invitation. Come here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.